What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode number 142 of Smack Talk, coming to you from SmarkOutMoment.com. I am your host, as always, Tony Mango, and with me on the mic this evening, we have Miguel Leon.
What were we talking about, guys? I'm sorry.
Steven Wago.
Woo.
Drew White.
Oh, we're talking about the hot tags? Oh, no. Oh, wait, it's the introductions? Oh, hi.
And Mike Payton.
My name is Mike Payton.
Really?
Oh, God. Tonight on the show, we have a main event of a bit of a memoriam for TNA Wrestling. We are going to just let it all out, and we're going to talk about a lot of different topics when it comes to TNA not being re-signed with Spike TV. We are also going to talk about the finals of the hottest WWE Divas Tournament. We've got some hot tags coming up in the next segment. We got to do some things related to the Fantasy League at the very end of the episode. A little break with the rest hold, and we are on part one right now. And if you are unfamiliar with what that is on the show, that's when we do the wrestling trivia question of the week, otherwise known as the Ask Him. So last week's question, let's backtrack to that one. If you also are not familiar with how the Ask Him works, what we have is two questions. One is for the panel, and the other one is tied into that, and that's for the audience out there to answer. The question to the panel was, in what promotion did the original Nation of Domination debut? That was USWA, United States Wrestling Association. And the question to you guys was, which members of the original faction were also briefly a part of the WWF version of the stable? The answer was PG-13, JC Ice, and Wolfie D. So who got it right, who got it wrong? My buddy Dane Quinn got that right, sending me a tweet. YWC Anvil, Watchman King 67, both of you got it right as well. We had two other guesses here from Johnny Castaway, said Godfather and D-Lo slash Devon slash whatever the fuck his name is. No, that's not true. And Habit Man said, nice, I already have this one half in the bag. What was the question again? If they're black, I'm going to say the Supreme Fighting Machine and D-Lo Von Braun. If that doesn't work, then Kona Crush. Crush a pineapple at the beach, damn it. So, nice job guessing those guys. For those who got it wrong, you don't lose anything either, because this isn't worth anything at all. But this week's question is going to be from Mike Payton, so hit us with that, sir.
Well, as folks like to know, I usually like to have my Ask Hims revolve around themes that are big this week. And this week, the talk of the town is, of course, Vince Russo. So, my first question to you, the panelists. Vince Russo is known as a man who was a head writer for a number of wrestling companies. This year, though, he secretly worked for a company. Now, I know you guys are going to have a hard time knowing this one because it was such a secret, but what company did he work for?
Kayfabe Commentaries.
Was it it?
It was indeed it. Yeah, that was just a joke question. You worked for TNA.
Oh, I thought it was WWE.
The serious question to you fans out there, though. Before he was a head writer for WWE, he was actually the editor-in-chief for WWF Magazine. However, he went under a pen name. What was that pen name for Vince Russo while working as the editor-in-chief for WWF Magazine?
Swervy McSwerve.
If you guys think you know the answer or you just want to flat out take a guess, leave your comments below. Send a tweet at SmarkOutMoment with the hashtag AskHim, and on the next episode, we will tell you what that answer is, and we will run down who got it right and who got it wrong. And we are going to continue along here in part two with the hot tags of the week, so stay tuned for that. Welcome back, everybody. We are on part two of episode 142, and that means we got to talk about some hot tags that went on this week in wrestling. There are three things that I want to talk about for this week. One of them is something that is actually a little bit of a crossover between this site and fanboysanonymous.com, and that is the rumor that Sheamus will play Darth Vader in the upcoming Star Wars Episode 7 as yet untitled movie. I don't buy it. And I don't buy that because it's Sheamus, because if they do have Darth Vader in the movie, then you need somebody who's got the bulk to be able to pull that off, and David Prowse is certainly not going to do it. I don't buy it because I don't think Darth Vader is going to be a part of it. Spoiler alert, if you have not seen these movies that have been out for 20-something years, Darth Vader dies at the end of the series, and You can't just necessarily bring him back to life. He's brought back to life as a ghost, and the ghost does not look like Sheamus. So,
no, it looks like Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, who I won't defend him when it comes to acting in a lot of different ways, but I'm sure he's a better actor than Sheamus is still. Hey, what? Get out of my pool.
Get out of my pool, fella.
So I don't buy this at all whatsoever. Of course, if he does end up playing the part in any kind of fashion, even for one quick scene or something like that, which, by the way, they don't do flashbacks in the Star Wars movies, so I can't even see that happening. But if there is any way whatsoever that Sheamus is a part of this, he's completely just underneath the armor. And I don't even think that that's got a chance of happening. I think this is just the same old nonsense that we've heard that have happened a million different times with a million different movies, where John Cena was going to play Captain America and Triple H was going to be Thor and 100,000 other people in Hollywood were going to be in Episode 7. So this has about as much credibility behind it as a bunch of jack shit does for me. But Wago, what do you think about this? If Sheamus does end up playing the part of Darth Vader, is that a good thing, a bad thing, or is it not even worth talking about?
Luke, I'm your fella. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just bullshit, but it's one of those funny scenarios. I can't picture him doing it. He seems like the last person I'd cast for that role. If he did, I imagine they wouldn't have him talk. They'd have someone else do the voice. But seems stupid, but if he does do it, I'd imagine he might be there for a flashback followed by a side transition scrolling, as they always do in Star Wars.
An ellipsis wipe. Miguel, your thoughts on this story?
There's not much. I mean, he's refuted it somewhat on Twitter. So, like I said, I can't imagine that, like you said, I can't imagine bringing him in to do any sort of substantial work other than being a body double. And even then, I'm sure they could find guys that are better suited for that than Sheamus.
Drew?
To answer Miguel's question, he's pulling a Chris Jericho. He's going to refute it and then still do it anyways. I'm just saying. But it'd be interesting, but it's not going to happen. But it'd be the best thing Sheamus has ever done in his career, I bet.
But Drew, is it a match?
You know, it might be a match to see who gets the role. I don't think it's a match as of this moment, because apparently Sheamus is the clear-cut favorite. I mean, fuck, it's Darth Vader and Sheamus. One's black, one's white. You can't tell the difference, right?
Now, Peyton, if he does end up getting a part in this movie, whatever the case may be or something, Darth Vader the way to go, or should they make him, like, Admiral Ackbar or something?
Jabba the Hutt!
It's a trap!
Jojo Sheamus.
I thought he asked me the question, not you guys. Chill the fuck out. I think he'd be fine because you could put him under a mask and then you don't need to see him. I think he'd be a fine double for it. I mean, he's a big-bodied guy. He's used to working on sets. And if you watch the backstage, behind-the-scenes interviews with Sheamus when he did that little thing for, what was that show called, Royal Pains, he said that he was going to start looking to get more into acting. This could be that way. I wouldn't say it's the most likely thing, but I wouldn't just completely discount it as bullshit either. I think the thing that would hurt it most is the fact that this report got out, and that could, but at the same time, I don't think it would. I'd be okay with it. I'm not going to be 100% optimistic that it's happening, but I think he'd work out fine for the role. And if he does, then he has to have a new theme song. It's a shame that Luke lost his hand.
I see Darth Vader doing a fucking brogue kick in the movie. terrible.
If he shouts fella, I'm okay with it.
Brother.
But it's gotta be in James Earl Jones' voice. Hot tag number two. WWE officially signs Prince DeWitt or Prince Fergal DeWitt? Fergal? His name is Fergal?
Hashtag future WWE champion.
Dylan Fergal, future tech champs.
I think that we need to get him in a match with Norv Pernum. Or Norv Fernum, or whatever the fuck his name was. He's going to be coming to, I'm assuming, NXT Developmental in the Performance Center or whatever, and not just jumping right on the main roster. And I honestly don't know anything about Prince DeWitt whatsoever. I don't even really know what he looks like, let alone what he's like in the ring, what his promo skills are. I got nothing. So if he's great, cool. If he isn't, fire him. Don't care to me. Wago.
Solid hand in the ring. I don't know how he's going to go with the WWE style. I'm going to have to see. Yeah, pretty much.
Miguel?
I really don't know what I can really say, honestly.
Not too familiar with him either?
Nah, not really.
Drew, do you know anything about Prince of It?
Is he a midget? Because he said Dylan and Fergal, and I thought we were talking about Dylan, the leprechaun, at one point. So is he a midget?
No.
No, I just think he's got a stupid name like Dylan. It'd be perfect.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. I do have something I want to say. I'll be honest. I kind of spaced out. I was trying to get my thoughts together. In terms of Devitt, from what I'm reading, the big reason why they want to bring him in is because of the expansion to the network for Japan. And they really want him and Kenta to be the two big stars that they push for network subscriptions. So I think that's the big reason why they want to bring him and Kenta in. So if it gets him on TV, good. I hope that it leads to something better.
Is it Devitt or Devitt?
It's Prince Devitt.
Devitt. Fergal Devitt.
Yeah. Hey, guys, in Japan, sign up. Look, they're doing Kung Fu.
Well, here's the thing. He's a big star over there in was it New Japan? I think he was signed on to.
Yeah, he's a part of the. He was a part of the Bullet Club. The faction AJ Styles is in.
Yeah, so I think they're really hoping that his involvement in there, along with Kenta's, is really going to be big signings in the eyes of the Japanese wrestling fans. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the same reason they brought Steen in, but that's an anomaly in its own right.
True. What do you think about Prince Devitt, or Prince
Fergal? I don't know anything about him, but I do know that Kane is in See No Evil 2. So yeah, there's that.
Me is going to edit this out and save that. Yeah, that's great.
You guys don't regret me cutting him off?
Pay your thoughts on Prince Fergal.
I'm not incredibly well-versed with his career. I've only watched a handful of his matches, but he looks like a very talented guy who was very over wherever he went. I think it's a great signing. I think it's very smart of them to be putting some more international flair into their roster. I think it's very smart of them, as it was with Kenta, to send him to NXT first so he can adjust to the style. I think he's going to fill in real nicely. And, man, so much talent already down in NXT that they can finally bring up to WWE. And I think the biggest worry is after you take off like the Ascension and Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville and now Tyson Kidd, who's going to be left on NXT to keep it entertaining? Well, now we know. We're going to have Kenta. We're going to have Fergal. We're going to have Kevin Steen. We're going to have all these names coming up here that's going to make NXT continue to be a kick-ass show and breed future stars for WWE.
Hopefully we can add Bobby Roode to that list, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. There's so much potential for that. But one thing I do hope is I hope he's able to continue doing those fancy body paints he does, because those look awesome, and it's definitely something that'll make him unique and stand out.
Yeah, he's got some really cool ones and some really shitty ones, so it depends what they take from him, because I've seen him come out as the Joker before, and it looked crappy, but then he does ones that look like Venom.
Here's the thing, though. If that is the case, it's going to be the WWE makeup department that's doing it, and I have a feeling they're just going to slap some generic paint onto him and just throw him out there. I don't think you're going to have somebody actually take the time to do those masterpieces on him like you see in some of them. Like, I'll admit, the Carnage and Venom ones are really well done. I doubt you're going to get anything close to that from the WWE makeup department.
Why not? Look how much work they put into Goldust face paint, and they only put him on a screen to talk for 5 minutes. Not even. Yeah,
he does that himself, though.
Yeah, but that's Goldust, and even then, when you look at early Goldust, he was just gold. He didn't have the fancy face paint on.
Mm-hmm. So he's doing more now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because he built that up. Like, I don't think we're going to see Prince Devitt come out in some fancy, you know, body paint type stuff. If anything, they'll just be like, put him silver.
I wouldn't expect him to do it every week. I think he's just going to come out, you know, just his regular body self for most weeks, but big events like WrestleMania, sort of like Rey Mysterio would always bust out the superheroes for WrestleMania. He came out as the Joker. It also looked really stupid. And he did like Captain America and Flash, do something like that.
As long as he doesn't put white makeup around his lips like Rey Mysterio did, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
What about putting him in a mask? What do you guys think about that idea?
No.
Okay.
This is going to be him as Darth Vader instead, and the reports got mixed up.
He'll be the new El Locale.
We also have Ricardo Rodriguez has been released from the company.
Speaking of which.
Yep. He actually kind of made it seem like it was his choice, though. He said that he's come to terms with WWE's release, unless he was just doing that for, you know, the sake of it. Overall, I don't think this is a huge deal. I liked Ricardo, but I liked him when he was with Del Rio. And then after that, he really didn't have any much of a purpose. And whether he was on the Spanish announcers team, I mean, I don't listen to the Spanish announcers team, so it doesn't mean anything to me. And El Local, don't give a shit. Having him do introductions for people like RVD, no, that was just awkward. So if he wants to wrestle and they wasn't getting that kind of a fulfillment from WWE and he left, then good for him for leaving and not sticking around with the job that he doesn't like. And if that wasn't the case and he just got fired because of budget cuts, well, hopefully he'll be able to figure out something else anyway. Because I like Ricardo, but he kind of outserved himself, so. Waygo, your thoughts on Ricardo?
You said Waygo or Miguel?
Waygo.
Oh. He's fat. He sucked in NXT. And he sucked as Rob Van Dam's manager. So yeah, get rid of him.
Miguel.
I really think they made a big mistake splitting him up from ADR. I think that package was just so perfect. I think they really gelled with each other. And when they split them up, I think the stock of both guys dropped significantly. I mean, I did see some interviews he did where they had him do like Spanish language interviews with ADR and Sin Cara, well, Hunikara. I think he had a lot of potential for on the international front, and I think given their expansion into these other countries, I think he could have brought something to that. You know, maybe had like a Spanish language thing for their network so they can, you know, so they can sweeten the package when they expand down into Mexico and South America. I've been pushing for a long time for him to maybe get partnered up with Sin Cara and maybe help get him over, because it seemed like for a while Rodriguez was the more over facet of that whole ADR pairing. It's unfortunate that he left. I would suggest another company, but that might not be the case. Unless Ring of Honor decides they want to bring him in, which I'm okay with that too.
Drew, do you want to see him pop up anywhere else? Do you want him to be the new thing that's like going to save TNA or something like that?
He's fat!
Thank you, Steiner.
But seriously, does Jeff Jarrett still have that new promotion going or nah?
Yep.
GFW, yeah.
Is it? And why not go there? Wait, what's Old Sin Cara's new name in Mexico?
Mystico?
No, I thought he couldn't be Mystico anymore.
Mr. Z's or some shit like that.
Just go be his thing. I don't care. I liked Ricardo, but that was more so because I liked whenever I was at the live events. I just liked doing Alberto's ring stuff. I liked saying his name because it was kind of fun. And I guess, apparently he wasn't good enough on the Spanish announcer's table. So, hey, you know, life's a bitch and then you die, you know. What are you going to do?
Ring of Honor's down a fat wrestler. Maybe they can have him.
Yeah, and they can have a feud. The fat off.
Peyton, do you want to see a fat off?
No.
Well, peer pressure. Do it.
I got one thing to say. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Hey, hey, hey. Adios. See what I did there?
I like what you did there. And we have one more hot tag to talk about because I miscounted at the very beginning of this and I said three, but we have four. Daniel Bryan stops the burglary.
The big one. The big one.
The big one.
The big one.
The big one.
The big one.
A burglar tried to rob his house and he said, fuck that, and stopped him despite the fact that he's got all those injuries that he's recovering from. So maybe this will score a lot of points in WWE because there's always been this kind of a mentality that we've heard about from different reports that if you don't seem tough enough, that Vince McMahon and some other people might not be willing to book you as being tough enough, and that somebody like John Morrison or, you know, Daniel Bryan or some of the smaller guys in the past were held back because who would believe that they would win in a fight or something. Maybe Daniel Bryan doing this is going to be something that when he comes back, if they haven't just forgotten about it by then, they'll be like, oh, he actually can beat somebody up when it's not scripted. So there you go, Daniel Bryan. Here's a little bit of more of a push than we were planning on giving you to begin with. Cool to hear that. It sucks that he's trying to get, not trying to get, but it sucks that somebody tried to rob him. But it's good that he was able to circumvent that. So, Wago, your thoughts on the burglary situation and whatever that's going to happen with Daniel Bryan afterward?
Doesn't surprise me that he kicked the guy's ass. I mean, the guy trains at AKA now and again, which, for those who don't know, American Kickboxing Academy is one of the top-tier MMA training facilities. I know he trained with they had him training with Daniel Cormier up on WrestleMania 30 videos. So he knows how to handle himself. I think what's most impressive, he did it with a freaking broken neck or whatever he's got. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to affect his WWE career all too much. They might reference it when he gets back, but I don't think it'll have any effect.
What do you think about this, Miguel? Is that going to be something that they turn into a storyline, or is it just going to kind of fade away over the next couple of weeks?
Well, I'm just saying, if he was anything more than a B-plus player, he would have gotten both burglars. See, he can't handle being at the top, guys. He just can't. John Cena would have caught them, and he would have gotten back the stuff they stole from the previous house as well.
And he would have cured AIDS and cancer as well.
Yeah. Just because.
Drew, your thoughts on this situation?
I think it's really cool, you know. You don't hear many situations like this happen. If that was me and someone like were to burglar to rob my house, I don't know if I would chase after him because you never know what they have. You know, if they have guns, I could have easily shot them. So it's a scary situation and all. But honestly, it's a really cool story. And I think Peyton, you linked a video to their like press release afterwards, didn't you? I watched it, and honestly, it was really, really cool. I thought the whole thing was cool. I just hope that for future wise, you know, they stay safe because you know. Other one is, I don't know if they ever ended up getting the other one, but you know, it's kind of still at large thing, so you never know if that guy will try to return, get revenge, Burglar 2, you know, something like that, make a movie about it.
The sequel. Burglar 2.
You know what, knowing WWE, they'll adapt it, and then they'll cast John Cena in the lead. Starring John Cena as Daniel Bryan.
I think the burglar should just count himself lucky he didn't rob Orton. He would have come chased after him and shit on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I thought it was really cool, like, how the whole situation, dude. I don't know if it will actually affect his standing in WWE when he comes back, if he comes back at all. I'm a little surprised he didn't hurt himself. But, I mean, he didn't really have to do much. He just put a submission hold and wait for the cops to show up. But, yeah, it's a cool story. Hopefully he just stays safe in for the future.
Peyton, what do you think about this situation? Any positives or negatives that are coming out of it, or meh?
But I certainly can't see any negatives. This is just a wild story. You say you don't hear it often. I actually think didn't Buff Bagwell have something similar like this happen maybe a year or so ago? Didn't he like stop a robber or like pull someone out of a burning building or something? Anyone else recall that?
He threatened to have sex with him. That's why.
Oh well.
I know his mom probably told the reporters. I hear she's his secretary.
Oh, okay. Great for Daniel Bryan. Once again, very lucky that these guys didn't have any kind of weapons that they could have hurt him with. Very unfortunate for the people breaking into his house. Of course, it could have been even more unfortunate. Imagine if they like broke into Brock Lesnar's house while Brock was coming home. they would not be alive right now.
And they would have to run away immediately when he just charged at them and went,
"Rah!" Yeah, not even from Brock, from Sable.
Give me back my bracelets.
Yeah.
Drew mentioned that press conference, which I watched the whole thing. It was about 15, 20 minutes long, but it was a very enjoyable watch to see this very humanistic side of both Daniel Bryan and Brie. They were talking about how much they loved their dog. That was the first thing they were worried about. Daniel Bryan started tearing up at one point because he was talking about this priceless bracelet that his father gave to him before he died that they almost stole, but he managed to retrieve. Really feel-good story all around. There's not much more that you can say about that. One point I did want to touch on, though, that you mentioned about how they always worry about people looking like a tough guy. There was one point, I don't know if they still enforce this, but there was a point back during the kayfabe days where they told all the guys, if you ever get in a fight, you better win, because if you lose, you're going to lose your job. And I have to imagine that's not still in effect based on the whole Drew McIntyre situation, but yeah, they definitely would prefer you to look like a strong guy, even in real life. And Daniel Bryan did that, and this can do nothing but favors for him when he does come back.
I think the big question is, is it Nikki he's with? Or
Brie.
Is it Brie?
Brie.
Was Brie shouting, come on, during
it? No, she was just standing there with her little dog in her arms the whole time.
Just watching. Not even, like, smiling or cheering or anything. Just looking. Or she's going, no, no, no.
Bitch! You're a bitch!
They gotta stop airing that line, because she sounds so awkward at that. Alrighty, guys. That is it for the hot tags. We are gonna talk about some Divas stuff in the next part, and then we're gonna take a little bit of a break, and then come back and start talking everything that we need to do with TNA. Ugh. Yeah. Stay tuned, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. We are on part three, and for the past couple of weeks, what we've been doing in part three is not the rest hold. We've been doing the hottest WWE diva on the roster to today tournament, and we are now at the point where we are at the finals. So before we do that matchup, let's go back and talk about what happened in the semifinals and the two different matches that had the following results. Paige lost to Eva Marie by 3 votes.
Boo.
So whoever is sad that Paige did not move on could have gotten 4 different friends, and they could have made all the difference. 51% of the vote to 49% of the vote. That's how that split goes, obviously. I'm a little bit surprised. I thought that Paige was going to pull that one out. And as close as it was, I mean, she very easily could have. Somebody could have, you know, clicked the wrong button or something like that, and that accounts for 2 different votes. But that was a bit of a surprise. The next one wasn't, for me at the very least. AJ Lee defeated Nikki Bella. 56% of the vote went to AJ Lee. So we now have the 2 final divas in this tournament figured out. And that match is Eva Marie versus AJ Lee. Not what I had predicted would be the finals, and not what I would have gone with for the finals, because my finals would have been Alexa Bliss versus AJ Lee, most likely, and I expected it to be Paige versus AJ Lee. But between Eva Marie and AJ Lee, AJ Lee gets my vote here, and that's not for saying that Eva Marie's ugly or anything. I've been trying to defend her a little bit through this, since everybody's kind of down on her for the most part, but AJ Lee is just too damn adorable for me not to, you know, vote for her. Let's go around here and tell us who you're going to vote for, why you're going to vote for her, if there's a specific reason or something like that, and if you're surprised that this is the finals. Wago?
AJ Lee is no way I'm voting for that period-headed bitch. How the fuck did she get to the final? She shouldn't have even got past the first round. Whoever voted for Eva Marie, you've officially banned from using your penis.
Yay, that's me.
Who did you expect to be in the finals?
AJ Lee, because I know everyone's got a fucking boner for her. And second person, I'm not too sure. I was guessing it was going to be Paige, because again, she's fucking flavor of the month.
Hmm. Miguel, who gets your vote? What do you think the finals would have ended up being?
I don't understand the appeal of Eva Marie. At least AJ Lee, I get the appeal of her, so I voted for her. Gun to my head, if I had to choose 2 divas based on the way you set up the tournament trees, if I had to pick the 2 finalists I would have liked to have seen, I probably would have gone with the on the left hand side probably Stephanie McMahon, and on the right hand side I probably would have gone with. Let's go with Lana. I probably would have liked to have seen them. I know I said before this Nikki Bella, but I don't know. I got a thing for Lana, let's say.
Of course you
Drew, who gets your vote? Who would you have seen in the finals, et cetera, et cetera?
Okay, so the way that the description of this tournament is, it's the sexiest and hottest divas tournament. So essentially, I was trying to go with anything but a Paige and AJ Lee final, because they're not the sexiest and they're not the hottest. Now, since Eva is hotter than AJ Lee, I am going to choose her because she is sexier than AJ Lee. AJ Lee is cute, adorable. She's not sexier than Eva Marie. That's the whole point I've been trying to get across for the past 2 fucking weeks. But aside from that, if I my bracket would have ended up being Alexis Bliss and... Wait, Alexis Bliss is and Layla in the final with Layla winning as Layla. Ooh, those chubby legs. Give me every year. This past Monday, she looked fine out there with Summer Rae. But I'm actually really glad that Eva made it over Paige, because Paige is if I like list my like all these divas, Paige is in the bottom half for me. She's like maybe less than 75%. She is not that hot. It's just like that flavor of the month thing that Wago mentioned. Everyone just likes her because she's like, I don't know, different, but I just don't see the appeal of her. She's not that hot. So Eva Marie all the way, because fuck AJ Lee.
You do bring up a good point. Like, I can't really think of many of the divas on this roster as really sexy. They're not allowed to be sexy anymore.
Exactly, yeah. Like, well, you know, ever since Kelly left, I think that's like the standard has been getting worse.
I would say ever since they cut their ties with Playboy, you know, when they really tried to clean up the divas division, that really changed. Because, like I said, I can't think of anybody that I could picture really doing any sort of like picture shoot or anything like that that I would consider sexy, at least compared to like the late 90s, early 2000s.
Apparently you missed that video that WWE.com put out of Eva Marie making superstars' catchphrases sound sexy.
Oh, that was so stupid. She was so terrible at that. My God. That's a perfect reason not to vote for her in this, though.
Yeah.
God, that was really... Everybody should go back and watch that just to see how bad that was, because, I mean... They gave her some catchphrases that couldn't possibly have been sexy too, but you take something like yes, and instead of trying to make it like a When Harry Met Sally kind of a situation, she's just kind of like yes. Like, okay, you by well, sexy you mean fucking robotic.
We good can't job, get Eva. Too sexy. It's a PG product.
Right, that's true. So that's a shame. But Peyton, what do you think about these two in the finals? Who would you have voted for otherwise if you could have picked the finals? Who are you going to vote for in this one?
I am so tremendously disappointed in your website viewers. Eva Marie should have never made it this far. I'm not even that hurt that she beat Paige. I'm hurt that she made it this goddamn far. And I blame you, Tony. I'm going to go say this. I blame you because every single picture you used was her like from 5 years ago before she dyed her hair red and looked all stupid. You have all these like swimsuit model pictures of her. Of course people are going to vote for that then.
It's because he couldn't find pictures of her picking her nose.
They probably like didn't even know it was actually the same woman. They're just like, oh, wow, look at that girl. Okay, I'm going to vote for her. If they knew who she was and like the things that she said and did, there's no way she would have made it this far.
You know what we should have done for like the finals? We should have like used like the fat pictures of them instead of like their actual pictures.
Gargantuan AJ Lee and horribly obese Eva Marie.
When it when it comes down to these two, I am absolutely going to go for AJ Lee. And AJ Lee is just... I don't care what you say, Drew. I think she's sexy. She's got that nice fat little ass that she's got on her. I think her thighs are freaking nice for a girl of her size. She's actually very curvy for a small girl. Like, it's amazing how her body zooms around in all different directions. If I was to have my ideal panel, though, actually neither of these girls would be there. I'm looking at it right now. I would say from the left side, I would have Renee Young, and the right side, I would have Sasha Banks, with Sasha Banks being the dark horse winner of the whole thing.
Huh. So, everybody, make sure that you guys send in those choices that you have. You will see the winner of it on Tuesday. I'm not sure exactly what time of the day Tuesday, so just stay tuned for that. And that's obviously the polls will shut down before that. You won't be able to vote after the winner is completely announced. But pass it along if you want to try to make sure that one person wins over the other one. Right now, AJ Lee is winning with 59% of the vote, but it's tight enough that Eva Marie could end up pulling this out. So all she needs is a little bit of backers. And if you want to try to rile up some people, tweet out to Eva Marie and AJ Lee and anybody else too. I mean, it doesn't really matter. And try to gain support for the person that you like the best. And also leave us a comment below and tell us who you think should have been in the finals for that situation instead. Look at those two little sides of the bracket that we have on smartcowmoment.com or earlier on in this video if you're still paying attention to that. And we will take a little bit of a break here in part four coming up with the rest hold, and we will come back with a whole bunch of shit talking about TNA. It's time for the rest hold, and if you don't know what that means, it's when we take a little bit of a commercial break and promote some things going on in the world of A Mango Tree and Smart Out Moment. and anything else that we decide we want to promote. And we are going to skip the outside interference this week because I did not write anything outside of Smark Out Moment. So we're going to go right into Smark My Words, where I showcase one of the comments that you guys had left on the YouTube channel for the last episode. This week, the honor goes to DesignerMetal1 for their comment, "I find funny that news media are bashing WWE about this," meaning the Rusev situation. "They're freaking news media. They make all their freaking money off of reporting bad news like the Malaysian plane getting shut down. They should look at what they do before bashing others." And I completely agree about that, because I've always said the news is one of the stupidest things that people can watch. You can get the news of what's going on each and every day, each and every week, whatever you need to do, by just talking to people. And if you actually watch the news programs that are out in America, and I'm sure other countries as well, it's all sensationalized, and it's ridiculous. If I want to hear about all the shootings and murders and all that other kind of stuff that have no effect on me, what a downer. That's ridiculous. I completely agree, DesignerMetal1. That's bullshit. They gotta stop acting like they're gonna have this holier-than-thou kind of mentality and do the exact same thing. Thank you, DesignerMetal1, for sending that comment in. Thank you to everybody else who left a comment as well. Make sure you do that again this week and tell us to smark your words. The next edition of the Monthly Mailbag is going to be coming up on the next episode of Smack Talk. So if you guys have any questions you'd like to send our way to get to know us better, just submit them by filling up the inbox on the contact form of the website. That'll shoot us an email directly to me, and I will answer, and whoever else is on the show will answer anything that you guys send our way. And that episode is going to be our special live edition of Smack Talk, Saturday, August 9th, 8 p.m. at megapowersradio.com. You'll be able to call into the show and ask us questions, call in and answer the Ask Him, talk about the hot tags of the week, direct a conversation in any way that you guys want to, laugh along with us, maybe even do an outro yourself, I don't know, whatever you guys want to do. So mark your calendars next week, Saturday, 8 p.m., Mega Powers Radio, Summer Block Party 2. I want you guys to come out and make it an awesome time. If you're going to a wrestling event of some sort and you would want to show your support for Smark Out Moment and Smack Talk, take advantage of the Sign Me Up initiative. Just bring a sign that says SmarkOutMoment.com to that event and send me a picture or a video of it, and I will feature it on the website and on the next episode of Smack Talk. For all you fellow geeks out there that want to know what we think of different topics in the world of movies and video games and superheroes and all that kind of stuff, go check out my other website, fanboysanonymous.com. We just went through a whole series of San Diego Comic-Con coverage. Lots of different stuff happening there. We've got podcasts that you guys would be interested in as well. That's on youtube.com/fanboysanon, A-N-O-N, or on iTunes and Stitcher, just like Smack Talk. So follow those Twitter accounts, those Facebook accounts, go to fanboysanonymous.com, check out what we have to say. And one last bit of business, as always, if you would like to join the Smark Out Moment team in some kind of way as a writer or an editor, then send in your application using the same contact form as those mailbag questions, and I will get back to you with more information as soon as I can. That is it for the rest hold for this week. Our break is over with, and we're going to get back to work in the next part, so stay tuned, click on that next video, and we'll see you there. Welcome back to the main event of this episode, everybody, and the best way to put this is not one of the normal gimmicks that we usually do. This is just essentially, let's shit-talk TNA for a while. The big hot tag that happened this week that we didn't want to just keep on the hot tags is TNA has sort of officially been fucked. They are not going to be renewed on Spike TV, and they are going to have to shop around to see if they can get on any other kind of a network. And boy, do they not have any bargaining chips in their corner. So, in memoriam for the future demise of TNA, and who knows if that will end up coming the way that we predicted in episode 85 before or not, but we are going to start discussing the beginning of the end of Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, and we're going to throw some different things out there that are similar to different gimmick stipulations that we've done in the past on Smack Talk, and the first of which is sort of a belt or bury, and it's TV deal or no TV deal. Should TNA go somewhere else? Should somebody else pick up TNA? Or should we just let them be canceled and be done with it? I'm not going to elaborate too much on this because I don't think I necessarily need to, but no, they should not get any kind of a TV deal. Nobody should pick them up because there is no chance whatsoever that they will ever get better and be worth any contract whatsoever. Wago, what do you think?
No. If there's any justice in this world, hell no. They have had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and they have squandered it all. They had Panda Energy backing them, giving them shit ton of money, which they've pissed away. They've got to be $10 million in the hole. Fucking, they had Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, bunch of other Bischoff. WWE guys.
Sting.
Sting, fucking Sting, the one guy that WWE could not get. And they fucked up. They had name power, they had money, they had 2 hours of primetime television, and they fucked up. If there is any justice in this world, no one will pick them up. They don't deserve it. They pissed it away. Fuck you, Dixie.
Miguel, should they get a TV deal from somewhere else? And if so, where would you like to see them pop up? Or if not, then rip them a new asshole.
Let me just start off by saying I'm going to give them some credit, because when you consider where they started out when they got to Spike, they started out in a death spot. They were doing Saturday nights for 1 hour, and they built up their fan base. They were able to get to primetime, middle of the week, and for a while they were a credible number two, it seems. I would say 2007 to 2009 were probably their strongest years. You know, they had just signed Kurt Angle. They were starting to push Samoa Joe as a big deal. You started to see guys like Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner, Booker T. A lot of these guys pop up on there. It seemed like they were going to be a big deal. And then Hogan came along, and it seemed like everything just ended. I think Hogan being there was – I can't even say there was any real good to it, because there was too much bad. They really sunk their credibility down the hole. They sunk a lot of money down, even with guys like Jeff Hardy, Mr. Anderson – RVD, they just proved how inept and how they just weren't ready for the business. And I got to agree with you guys. I don't think that they really do. It's hard for me to say, because I don't want the guys that are working for TNA to go out of business. I don't want them to be left to squander on the indies. I mean, say what you want. It still is a mainstream primetime slot that these guys are working on. I agree with you. I don't think that they deserve that from a business perspective. They deserve to continue. But gun to my head, if I had to choose what channel that I could see them getting picked up on, I guess you can maybe say CMT. They have a big Southern following, especially with their affiliation with the Jarretts and Hogan after that. Maybe if they sweeten the cards or the sweeten the pot, they could probably get some like deal with them. Other than that, I can't see anything else. I don't think they'll get picked up by any sort of like syndication deal. They're not going to get picked up by a major network or even a cable network. It's the end of the road for them. And you know what? I'll give them a golf clap for lasting as long as they did, because I mean, we've been talking about their death for like years. I mean, I remember people in 2010 saying that, "Oh, this is going to be it. They're not going to last another year." And they've lasted pretty far. So, you know, they get a golf clap. And that's about it for me.
Drew, should they get another TV deal from somebody else, or fuck them?
Fuck them, because I don't give a rat's ass. You know what? One of the first episodes I was on was when we were like the whole episode 85 thing. This would have been so amazing if this happened last year on episode 85. This would have been the greatest thing that ever happened. We would be Jesus on ice, but we're not Jesus on ice. We're a year late. But I don't think they should get a TV deal, mainly because I've had no appeal of them in the past. They still have no appeal to me. And I used to be just a general wrestling fan. If they don't have any appeal to me, then, you know, fuck it. Why? No. Just get out of my face. TNA! TNA sucks. I wrote Ring of Honor.
Peyton, any chance of trying to defend them here, or is it the same kind of statements echoed?
Yeah, you're in the wrong neighborhood if you're looking for a defense for TNA. Let this company just die. As Wago has pointed out, every single opportunity they've had, they've maybe taken advantage of 10% of the potential that they could have through all that. This company just needs to go. They're a black mark on the history of professional wrestling, especially present day. They're doing nothing but holding lots of other talented people back from either working for a better company or doing something else more productive with their lives. Everyone who was ever involved with TNA just span their wheels for whatever amount of time they were with them. No one got better. It's just a complete waste. So kudos to them for making it past episode 85. That's all well and good. Just let it end. Let it end.
That'd be funny if that was something that was passed around for morale. They're like, we made it past Smarkout Moments episode 85. A couple people backstage are like, woo. By the way, you're not going to get paid this week. So sticking with you, Peyton, we're going to kind of go in reverse mode here. We were talking about beforehand trying to do maybe a list of, like, a top rope list, sort of the biggest mistakes that TNA made. What do you think were some of the biggest mistakes?
Well, number one is not taking full advantage of AJ Styles. That was your franchise player. That was the guy that became a star in your company. Everyone liked him pretty much. As far as their fan base, from what I understand, is pretty well liked backstage, put on excellent matches. There's no reason this guy couldn't have been your number one guy. And yet, once they start bringing in all these ex-WWE guys, AJ Styles was pretty much all but forgotten. You never really saw him during those last number of years. And of course, he jumps ship, goes to Japan, goes back to Ring of Honor, and he's a giant star again. He's a world champion. He's got this whole stable booked around him, and he's happier than he's ever been. So good for AJ. Sucks for TNA. Number two, constantly defending Vince Russo. Dixie Carter was the most guilty of this, but the whole company would always come to bat for Vince Russo whenever he was called out. The guy has great ideas once in a while, but he needs somebody to tell him when he has a stupid fucking idea, not just bring it to TV. And that never happened in the latter days of WCW, and it didn't happen in all the time he was there in TNA. So that was a huge mistake. And for me, my top mistake for them was the shift to Monday nights to try to compete with WWE. What a fucking boneheaded idea. Who in their right mind thought that was ever going to work for that company? They went and did that. But after that, it just dropped down to the most abysmal levels, and the company never recovered. They were a complete laughingstock from that point up until now. So it's very hard for me to not look at that as the biggest single blunder that they've ever done.
So, Drew, what do you think were some of the biggest mistakes that they made?
You know, I think Mike had nailed all of them in the head with the coffin. But the one mistake, the biggest mistake they've ever had, and I'm only going to list one because there's only one rope for me on this one. They fucking existed. That was their issue.
Their biggest mistake was not having been dead before they existed.
Yes.
Miguel, what do you think? Some of the biggest mistakes that TNA's ever made?
Honestly, one of the biggest mistakes I could think of, and I can't really fault them for taking this risk, but it goes back to Hogan. I mean, Hogan really did a lot of damage in the long run to them. He was a big, expensive signing that they couldn't afford, that didn't go out and promote them that the way he should have, that really did run roughshod in terms of a lot of the main ideas, had a lot more control backstage than he really should have. He brought down morale. I'll admit he probably kept them going at a time when probably Spike TV would have gotten rid of them. I think to a lot of the older men that run Spike TV, he probably is still a name. But I had a lot of high hopes for when he came in, when him and Bischoff came in, and within the first 6 months, I knew something was bad. And I think within a year, everybody realized that this was a mistake. I really do think that a lot of their problems happened when Hogan came along. Aside from that, I would say always compromising their identity, because there were a lot of periods early on where they seemed like they had stuff that they that WWE didn't. You know, when Scott D'Amore was running the knockouts division, there were times where the knockouts were putting quarter hour numbers up that were, you know, rivaling the main event guys. When they started the X division, there was a big focus on that. I mean, guys like Joe and AJ came from there. It seemed like everything that they had that they were doing right that made them – that got them a name, they just got rid of. They never really knew how to keep it going, and I think that was probably one of their biggest mistakes. Other than that, yeah, Russo. That's really the other big – the third big one on my list, because, I mean, everybody has been saying negative stuff about this guy, but Dixie just didn't know what to do with it. I can't even say Jeff was any better because he was the one that brought him on. They're both besties. Even Hogan. I thought Hogan, his first time when he came in, was going to be to get rid of Russo, but he kept him on for a little while, and I never understood that. So, yeah, I those are my three big problems with the way TNA was managed.
And Wago, any other ones that stick out to you as potential biggest mistakes in the company?
The biggest mistake this company had by far over everything else that they did wrong was product awareness. People would ask Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, Rob Van Dam, hey, when are you going to start wrestling again? They've been wrestling for 5 fucking years. No one fucking knows because TNA doesn't promote their shit. People think that people are just disinterested in the product and that's why they're having such shitty numbers. No, no one knows they've got a show there. I think it even happened to Peyton once that they was running a show or in his area that he didn't know about just because they don't promote jack shit. That's their biggest issue. If people know that you've got a show on, then they'll go to it. There's no reason that House of Hardcore can draw the numbers they do and TNA can't get a fucking tenth of that. It's ridiculous. So product awareness is their biggest issue, and it's always has been their issue. It's a professional wrestling promotion. Promote it. Fucking the booking is the second part. And last rights match, Black Rain, Claire Lynch, the fuck. And if I had to go with any, if I had to pick a third topic, scraping the bottom of the barrel, I think they've lost a lot of loyalty with their fan base. There were TNA diehards that would defend it to no end before. And they don't have that connection. They don't have that loyalty. And they don't have... they've lost all that with them. Be it from treating particular workers like shit, not paying them. Like AJ Styles, who jumped ship. Gail Kim was... They did that to Gail Kim a long time ago. I know she's back with the company now, but that rustled a few feathers. They've always had a history of just... treating their talent like crap and bringing them backwards and forwards and not paying them the money they deserve to be paid. It's ridiculous. A perfect example of them not using talent right was Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle. You bring Kurt Angle in for the first time and you have him squash, who was arguably their biggest name at the time, with Samoa Joe with the run that he was on. They just don't know how to handle their talent. It's ridiculous.
Some other things that I was thinking of when I was trying to think of some really bad mistakes. Botches. And they talk about all the time whenever they're trying to do an interview and somebody says, like, oh, well, what's preventing you from being on the level of WWE? And they always go, well, we already are. We're actually better than WWE. And they say the exact same thing every time. We've got the best wrestlers in the world, the hardest working guys or whatever. Yeah, you also have the most amount of time dedicated to you in Botchamania. And I can't watch a single pay-per-view and not sit there and just go, that was botch, that was a botch, that was really a botch. Oh, crap, that was a botch of a booking mistake. So many different things that were just flat-out mistakes, as simple as that is. And that goes for failed promises, too. How many times does WWE put out something as being the biggest thing in the world, and it's not at least something interesting? Now, we have one... example from last week of a hype thing that actually turned out to be stupid, and that's that WWE Transformed, which turned out to just be an article on WWE.com where they were like, oh, well, what if we redid some of the costume design for some people? All right, well, you know what? They also didn't promote that all over the place. It was one tweet. TNA has this mentality of something's going to happen on Impact this week that changes the world of professional wrestling forever. And what is it? We changed the color of the strap of one of our titles. Oh, crap. Or, like, we hired somebody who is a former champion in WWE and a multi-level star and whatever, and it's fucking Shannon Moore or something. And those kind of botches are unforgivable after a while. You wouldn't watch a TV show with bad acting, and you wouldn't watch a movie with horrible special effects unless you wanted to make fun of this kind of stuff. And it's so much easier to make fun of TNA than it is to be proud of it.
Can I dovetail another issue that I had with them off of something you mentioned?
Certainly.
The blatant copying.
Yes.
That is something that infuriated me about TNA, because I can understand maybe using a gimmick from the past and maybe modernizing it, or kind of, you know, using a similar idea to your competition, but there were times where they would just go all out and just be like, I am shamelessly copying the competition because, you know, whether it's Eric Young getting his push with the big beard, which was clearly done to capitalize on Daniel Bryan's thing. I can't really say Austin Aries' run capitalized on CM Punk's thing, even though that happened at the same time. To me, the biggest example of it was when they brought back Sting back in, I think, 2012. And they did that awful 3-31-11 thing when he came back. It was the playoff of the 2-21-11 thing that they had on WWE when people thought Sting was coming to the WWE. That was just so Bush League that really infuriated me. And I'm sure if we all thought hard enough, we could think of other examples. But TNA just came off at so many times as just being so low rent with just really blatant gimmicks that just were nothing more than just, hey, I'm either copying WWE or I'm doing something to capitalize on something new. And yeah, WWE does this, is guilty of this, but not to the level of TNA. They were just shameless.
Well, another good example of that, WWE decides to bring in the ECW people. They do One Night Stand. What does TNA do? Hardcore Justice, where they have to refer to them as EV 2.0, and you get these people like, they make a big deal out of PJ Polacco, and it's like, yeah, all right, well, the only reason that anybody gave a shit about One Night Stand is because you had the people like fucking Dreamer and RVD and Sabu and Sandman and, you know, the guys that actually, as much as they weren't the best guys in the world, the people that ECW fans remembered the most. And they did that shit all the time. I mean, even when it comes to their songs, they're just the exact same copies as they possibly can of normal songs and WWE songs.
Yeah. I mean, it's a one thing if you're going to say, like, WCW did that, because, yeah, WCW was notorious for that too, but that was back in the days when that was a novelty. You know, you didn't hear modern music used in wrestler themes. And WCW had the pull that they could pull that off. TNA just seems like they're blatantly copying. And it's just, it's copying. It's not homage. It's not recycling an old gimmick. You know, you're copying. And it just, it goes back to the whole TNA not having an identity of their own. You know, people call them WWE Light, and they're not wrong.
Another mistake that I think, and what were you going to say, Wego?
Oh, yeah, and I love how they tried to hype up them having their own big MMA star. Fucking King Mo.
Yes.
Let me ask you, Tony, did you ever hear of King Mo?
Nope.
Drew, did you ever hear of King Mo?
Dude, I don't even know what TNA is.
Isn't Mo that guy who was with Mabel?
Isn't Mo that chick from Guts?
Oh, wow. Wow, I was actually going to give you the award for random bit of nostalgia, but man, Tony, I think, beat you, Peyton.
What's funny is that's the second time that Mo has been mentioned from Guts on
yes,
Family's Anonymous earlier.
Yeah, fucking the King Mo and all the Bellator MMA stuff was fucking retarded.
Although, to be fair, though, that was a mandate from Viacom. That was them going, look, we're funneling money to you. You're going to help us promote our new investment.
Yeah, they didn't have to integrate them into storylines that heavily or that retarded. They had a pull of how they used them.
Fair enough.
They spend money on the people like the Tito Ortiz people or even the people like Snooki. I mean, WWE does that every once in a while. They bring in those guest stars and stuff and try to get some attention from the mainstream media. But you know what? WWE does that because, number one, they have the money that they can do that. And number two, because they get that attention from mainstream media and they know how to capitalize on that.
Well, that's the thing is that TNA couldn't even get Snooki. They got all the other characters from the Jersey Shore, but even Snooki wasn't even low enough that she would work for TNA.
And they do different kind of crossover stuff like that. And they, you know, make a big deal out of it, just the same as they do with everything. And if you don't have the income to pass around, then don't do it. You don't pay for more things that you can't afford. I mean, it takes money to make money, and you do have to pay to make money when you are talking about big numbers and everything, but you can't spend all your money and not get some kind of profit in return. And there's no point in having guest stars come out to the Impact Zone, which is another thing that people are critical of. You give away free tickets. How are you going to earn anything? You really think that's going to bump up the ratings from an 0.8 to a 4.0? No, it isn't. The only reason that people end up watching TV shows ever is if enough people talk about it and if it's good enough.
TV's always been guilty of the fucking celebrity thing. Remember when the idiots decided to make fucking Adam Pac-Man Jones a tag team champion? Then realized, oh, legally he's not allowed to wrestle for us, so they had to get another fucking person to replace him. Xavier yeah. Woods. Fucking idiots.
Yeah, and as far as the them using the Impact Zone, I'll admit, early on, I think it was a good idea because it allowed them to have a hot crowd every showing. I mean, those early crowds from the Impact Zone were not bad. It was towards the end of their run, though, that those crowds started to suck. And by that point, they should have had enough capital that they could have at least gone on the road, which they tried to, and they clearly proved that they just cannot afford that.
Oh, they can afford it if they promote their shows so people turn up.
You want to hear an interesting story, actually, that kind of ties into how inept they are as a company?
One thing, right. I just want to point out, you said the fans were bad towards the end. They accomplished one thing that was very good. Knock, knock, who's there? Braden Walker. Greatest chant ever.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of Jester when he went to go see when he went to go to a TNA pay-per-view. I think it was the one that they had that that Six Sides of Steel matchup with Test in it, the one that they botched and couldn't get the walls up. He was saying how he tried to start a Cena sucks chant or we want Cena chant at the pay-per-view.
I'm surprised it didn't catch on.
But yeah, it's something that goes to the how, you know, inept they are in promotions. You know how when WWE comes to town, they always have those trucks that have the logos on the buses, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, TNA, they don't have that. They just have, you know, whatever truck they can afford, like whatever U-Haul. So Kaz, Frankie Kazarian, actually offered to make them decals. He has a friend of his that can make professional decals that would have made some for him to put on the trucks so that, you know, they would actually have some TNA themed trucks come through, you know, that they could use. And they said no. You know, you had a guy offering to make you free promotional stuff and you turned him down. If it was any other company, they would have leapt at that. But, you know, TNA is just, they wouldn't know a good idea if it bit them.
As soon as you said about them having production vans, I was just imagining like a white van with TNA written in Sharpie.
It's just a regular U-Haul truck. From what I've heard,
it's even worse. It's they started writing it in the Sharpie, but they ran out with like halfway through the N, so it's like that real faded A kind of a thing.
Let me put it this way: the Exotic Express recently drove through a town near me, and like a bunch of people blew up knowing about it. TNA has come to my town around here, and nobody recalls seeing anything involving them. Not poster, not even like those white things that you always see on telephone poles promoting the shows coming up at high schools. Right. None of those. No radio spots. No commercials on TV. Nothing.
Oh, I remember when FCW, when I used to live up in Tampa, they would paper a bunch of places with just like, come see the shows. Like, and that was FCW that mm-hmm. was doing that.
OTW does that, the wrestling organization that I'm affiliated with. Every time in Williamstown when we're going to have some kind of a show, there's flyers passed around. I mean, we've got the website that's pointing out exactly how to get to the location and everything like that. It's not hard at all to do that. And you'd think if they had any sense whatsoever, maybe at first they thought that they had enough recognition that people would just know and it would just be passed around. Maybe they had the gall to think that. After you start getting pictures online of how you didn't draw more than a couple, you know, dozen people or so to your shows, you got to know that you got to kick your ass into gear. And that's with any company, too. I mean, if Smarkout Moment started getting no hits on the website, no followers on the YouTube account, any of that kind of stuff, you got to be sure I'm posting all over the place and going, fucking go to my website, go to my YouTube channel and all that. And that's what they got to do.
They tried. There was a period. Does anybody remember TNA Academy?
Nope.
It was an initiative they had like in the around 2008, 2009, where they would visit colleges and they would rally fans together and be like, listen, if we're coming to your town, we need you guys to go around and kind of promote the show and paper things around. I remember they had that Bill and Doug group. They were kind of the spearheaders of those.
Fucking two idiots.
Yeah, because I remember they were on the TNA payroll for a little while, and they were the big two front runners for that. And I actually gave them credit for it. I'm like, okay, they're going through the college market, which is still a viable market. You know, those guys will go out there for you and spread the word. You know, they're hitting the youngsters. And they just gave up on that. You know, it was something that WWE was not doing that they could have gotten the leg up for, and they just kind of just tossed it away.
Yeah, I have no idea what this thing is, or Bill and Doug.
Bill and Doug were two idiots that decided to be a part of the YouTube shooting bullshit, where fans would shoot promos about WWE and TNA, and they ended up making a big buzz because they hijacked a WWE press conference with TNA questions, and that's why they got their following, and they had a big following for a while.
Yeah, they were big TNA marks, I remember early on, and then they actually had like a little podcast for TNA professionally for a little while. Like I said, they were on their payroll.
And I think they ended up being part of the Pro Wrestling Report and getting bumped off that too.
Oh, yeah. I was like watching Pro Wrestling Report regularly back then. They were the laughing stock. Like, they would have like a 10-minute segment every week on the Pro Wrestling Report, and the chat room would just be like, oh, Bill and Ted are here. Just like spend the whole time making fun of them.
I never even knew. I probably thought they lasted one episode. I never heard about them being on regularly. But fuck, that just shows how bad their fans are too.
You know what? I almost get the feeling with TNA that they saw that they had like a groundswell, and I think they thought that that's all they needed. You know, like they had the groundswell support from the fans, and that was going to carry them into the next level. But they didn't realize that that's just the start. You know, your fans are there, but they want to see you reach that next level. They're willing to help. But you can't put all the pressure of the company on their backs. And I think that's what happened, and their fans backlashed against them.
Another thing that I think was a big mistake, and this sort of ties into the idea of not knowing what they really want to do with themselves, not knowing what they are and all that. Just in general, stupid ideas. A reverse battle royal? Who, like, that is exactly the type of thing you joke about backstage. And then everybody goes, oh my god, wouldn't that be funny if we just did something that stupid? But nobody does. It ends with, yeah, that would be funny, but let's get back to work and do actually some serious shit here.
Oh yeah, what was that cage match that I mentioned? The one that they had, like, they built up this, like, big, like, menacing cage-looking thing, and when the matchup actually happened, they didn't have enough time to put the cage up, so they only had, like, half a cage set up for the entire matchup. It was embarrassing.
Even something as simple as, well, I shouldn't say as simple, but King of the Mountain match. That's a good name for a match, but what the fuck are the rules? It's like, there's a
You have to pin someone to earn the opportunity to climb the ladder. And put the belt up there.
Like, what? Like, why is everything got to be the opposite? You're going to have disqualification means that the other person wins, or, like, you're going to start doing these kind of submission things where you have to tap out to win, and you lock yourself in a fucking figure four or something, like...
Oh, that one-legged wrestler won't be able to do that. That's unfair.
Yeah, he wouldn't have a legged sandal in that match. That's terrible.
Yeah, it is, but it's fucking funny.
By the way, I did find that matchup. It was the Doomsday Chamber of Blood match.
Of course it's got a name like that. Yeah. And the Monsters Ball things, and, you know, you've got the Lethal Lockdown, which I like the Lockdown pay-per-view idea. The name is fucking great. That's perfect. WWE should have taken that name, Lockdown. But why is it that the top lowers down and then there's a bunch of weapons out there, and every match has to be like, they're just waiting until these, like, bats and stuff come down, and it always came out stupid. Global Championship. Why is it the Global Championship?
Because Intercontinental was already taken.
Because they already named it Legends and they ran out of Legends.
Yeah, and it's like, why did you name it the Legends Championship to begin with? You don't see the WWE Legends contract people carrying around a title and defending it. And if you really wanted to give it just to Booker T or whatever, then it could have been Booker T's $1 million championship kind of a thing. Not your number two title. Those kind of mistakes are unforgivable in these kind of things. WWE is not immune to doing stupid things. Look at Dylan. But at the same time, almost all of their mistakes are built around them trying to do something that makes some kind of sense. Some people are like, oh, they shouldn't have had two world championships. Well, you know the reason why they had two world championships? Because they tried to make two different shows that were separated. And then they are slowly getting back into where they're going back to what they used to have, because they don't have that split anymore. Are all the TV shows that they do good? No. But the Legends House thing's trying to capitalize off of reality TV shows on a network, not on, like, let's get a bunch of people to do videos on TNA's website. Which, another thing, too, about the website, for anybody that remembers, there used to be ImpactWrestling.com, and that was not TNA. That was another Smark Out Moment type of website. Kudos to them for figuring out how to jump on that ahead of time and getting paid whatever amount of money they were paid. But that alone, I mean, they didn't register that until a long time after they had started calling it Impact Wrestling. So, huge mistakes there. A couple of good ones, like maybe the six-sided ring was a decent idea to separate themselves a little bit, but you can't operate under the mentality that you want to be WWE, but you don't want to do WWE things, or you want to just copy WWE, or, you know, you gotta stand your ground in some way. So, what do you guys think? We should either shit talk some more about random stuff and throw that all out there, or we should do some fantasy booking of different people that should go to WWE?
There's not much that we can say that hasn't already been said by a bunch of other people. I mean, we're just kind of going off the cliff notes of, you know, why TNA sucks.
Cliff notes. It sounds like a fucking wrestler that they would have a TNA.
Cliff notes.
Clifford notes.
Tony's thinking, man, I need to debut under this character now.
Cliff notes.
I'd come down there and beat your ass, but I don't want to take the time, so I'm just going to give you the rundown version of it.
He could use the bookend, but it could be the notebook for his finisher. Look at that.
You
TNA,
know,
hire
me
real quick.
Yeah, at this point, why not?
So, yeah, if you were going to take some people out of TNA and take them out of their misery, so to speak, and put them in WWE, you know, what would you do? I mean, I don't think that a lot of them are really necessarily even worth it. WWE is trying to make sure that they don't spend a whole lot of money on too many things that they don't need to. And is there a point in bringing in Rob Terry or Homicide or...
Homicide's not even with WWE, TNA.
No, oh, there you go. Not even him anymore. Even some of the people that used to be in WWE, why bother bringing back Bobby Lashley? Why bother bringing back Mr. Anderson? They're past their prime. They're not going to get the ratings to bump up, and they're probably going to demand a lot more money than what they're worth.
There's only two former WWE guys in that entire roster that's worth bringing back, and that's Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle, if they're not on drugs.
I don't even think Kurt Angle. I think he's done. honestly, if they do bring him into WWE, it'll be as a trainer. In terms of
Hang on, are you telling me you don't want to see a Kurt Angle versus Daniel Bryan match? Because I sure as hell do.
If it's just for a one-time thing, then yeah. But I don't think he can get... I don't think he'll be able to pass the physical.
I would much rather see Kurt Angle than Jeff Hardy. And I used to really like Jeff Hardy.
Why not both?
Why not Zoidberg?
I tell you what, though, if I were just picking a couple of people, I'd rather have Bully Ray in WWE than Jeff Hardy at this point.
I don't think a character like Bully Ray can work, because Bully Ray, he's an abrasive character, and they really don't have that in WWE. I don't think they want a character like that in WWE. You haven't, or else they would have already found somebody like that, because there are guys like that out there on the independents that could fill the Bully Ray spot.
Hell, if you can, bring back D-Von. Just have Bully Ray and D-Von help up the tag division.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get them at a good rate, of course, that's the same. There's a couple other people. I mean, Austin Aries and Robert Roode, Bobby Roode, whatever he would go by. I still think Ethan Carter III, when he was Derek Bateman, he had a lot more talent than what they gave him credit for. But, man, I don't really even know.
They need to bring in Spud to manage Rusev.
Hey, tag team partner.
The hot potatoes.
So, I mean, out of any guys that are in TNA right now, what would you guys do with them if you were going to bring them in WWE? I'll just throw that out to anybody who could jump in.
I've got three. Three guys off the top of my head. Now, in terms of guys, you know what? I'm not even going to say any of the knockouts, because I think the only knockout I would honestly see in WWE would probably be ODB, and that's only because I'm a big mark for her. I've always been a fan of hers, and I do think she could probably bring something to there, but I highly doubt they'll ever bring a character like that into there. As far as the actual male wrestlers, I could think of three. One is Bobby Roode. I like Bobby Roode, and the reason I like him is because he's one of the few guys that I can honestly say they gave the ball to and he ran with. That Summer of Roode thing that he had a while back, or whatever period he was champion, I really liked. I thought he really came off as a true star. So that's a guy I would love to see brought in. Jeff Hardy, obviously, because I still think that he has the potential to be a big star. And at a time when WWE really is lacking on star power, at least more permanent star power, I think a guy like Jeff Hardy really could be that main event draw that I think could get people to actually watch the product. And I'm going to say it right now for the third one. If he can lose the weight, I'd love to see Samoa Joe in WWE. I don't know if they would ever give him a main event spot, but I think a guy like him could really fill up a Dolph Ziggler role. He could be a guy that you could put in there to have solid matches with the guys that you do want to push. I don't know. You know, that's the big anomaly, but given they brought in Kevin Steen, you know, all bets might be off. So for me, it's Roode. It's Roode, Hardy, and Joe. That's it.
What about everybody else here? Anybody that you think should go to TNA or go to WWE from TNA?
Oh, TNA, geez, it's putting a whole fucking roster in TNA. That's how you save them.
Shut up, Drew. I'll go next then, I guess. Guys that I'd want to bring in, if I've only got the choice of three, it's Kurt Angle, Jeff Hardy, and Bobby Roode. Kurt Angle, still a popular name, and I think there's a whole bunch of guys you can have amazing matches with. Him versus Daniel Bryan or Dolph Ziggler, that's hella fun. So, yeah, bring him in. Jeff Hardy, I'm just a mark for the Hardy boys, but more so Jeff, so guilty pleasure. As much as some of the internet have turned on him, I'm still a big Jeff Hardy fan. And Bobby Roode, well, he's just got it, in my opinion. He's a main event star, no matter where he goes.
Drew or Payton, anybody that you think should go to WWE?
I want Kurt Angle just so he could just squash Rusev and bury him.
Like the potato that he is.
Yes, make some mashed potatoes instead of baked potatoes. Make some potato chips, why don't we?
Why not?
Payton?
You guys pretty much named any names that would be worth bringing over. The only other one I might throw in the conversation
would be James Storm. He's gotten a bit of a gut lately. I think he would have to work on that, and I think he could. I think there's still some time for him. He'll never build himself up to a main event guy, but he's a guy who can come in and flesh out that mid card for a little bit. Other than that, there's nothing worthwhile. You're not going to bring over like a Rob Terry or even like who's their wannabe Zack Ryder over there?
Robbie E.
You're not going to bring him over. There's not a lot of talent that's really going to benefit WWE too much. A lot of these guys will probably have to try to find jobs either in high school gyms or at their local Walmarts.
That's kind of a shame for some of them, because somebody like a Robbie E., I mean, he is talented.
No.
I like Robbie E.
No, he's not that bad.
I think he's fucking terrible.
I like some of these other guys. I mean, to an extent, to some of them not as much as others. Like, even somebody like Gunner has, like, more potential than what I had originally thought. But there's just no upside to spending that money in WWE. If they're going to get rid of the people like the Drew McIntyres that are talented enough that could be made something of, why bring in people that are all the same caliber? Why bring in Jesse Goddard if there's no role potential in the future? Or even an MVP. MVP's past his prime. Don't spend a whole lot of money on him.
Honestly, if I were to add two more names to that, I'd probably add Austin Aries, because even though they had the chance to bring him in, that's the reason why I didn't want to put him on my list, because they had the opportunity to bring him in and didn't. So I can't really say anything. And, okay, that's not me. Yeah, that's not me. I'm not making that clicking noise. It's either Austin Aries or Velvet Sky, just because I'm a mark for her.
I think all the knockouts probably can have a much more lucrative career just in modeling, rather than trying to continue to be wrestlers.
I don't know. Some of them aren't that bad. I mean, Gail Kim's a great wrestler, but I think she's pretty much burned her bridge, but I don't see her going back into there. And like I said, I've been a big fan of Angelina Love and Velvet Sky, but I don't know if WWE would bring them, both of them, back in. And gun to my head, if I had to choose one, I'd choose Velvet Sky, honestly.
So, I think that pretty much everybody has the same assumption when it comes to TNA. And that's sort of what the whole point of this is. It's the beginning of the end. If not the beginning of the end, it had already happened before, and this is just kind of the final blow, but I don't expect to see any positive news coming out of TNA anytime soon. And at most, maybe they get some kind of a deal with like a Yahoo screen or something like that. Maybe Hulu. But that's going to be so significantly low for whatever kind of contracts that they get. They're not going to be able to pay the wrestlers. And, you know, you can't survive on something like that. So
I had the idea of them, of WWE, maybe bankrolling TNA enough to at least keep the show maybe and put it on the WWE network, considering that WWE is kind of lacking in episodic original content. I mean, if Impact Wrestling is up for, if is looking for a place to go, might as well put it on the network.
I don't think that they would ever want to have any association with them.
I think the TNA name is just so dragged through the mud. There's no prestige to that name. There's no benefit of bringing it onto there. I mean, I like your idea of having a completely separate product on there. I believe the UFC channel is doing something similar with another company on their version of the WWE network. I think that's fine. Just not TNA. Oh, call it something different. Get a different company. That's cool if you want to do that, but not TNA. That's only going to make the network look less attractive than more attractive. And who's really going to plunk down the $9.99 to watch TNA on a weekly basis anyway?
Yeah, well, I think if you're going to bring in someone else, it's got to be something real different. Maybe like a Japanese or a Mexican promotion, so people are getting a different sense of something. The whole point of UFC bringing in these extra companies, it's like Invicta, it's a women's fighting league, or it's a jiu-jitsu tournament. It's something different.
Well, let me kind of throw that there to kind of dovetail off of that. Do you guys see any worth in some of the assets that TNA might have up for sale, like the tape library, the copyrights, things like that? Do you see that being something that WWE would want to go after, if nothing more than to just have the tape library? Or do you think who else do you see buying that up if not WWE?
Jeff Jarrett?
I could see it just dissolving.
Yeah.
Just like shutting down, Panda Energy goes about their business investing in better options.
I can see Jarrett maybe picking and choosing some things that he wants. If not, just grabbing a big set of it and just going, okay, guys, Global Force Wrestling is going to incorporate some of the things that you loved from TNA. We're not going to call it TNA. We're not going to do everything, but I really fucking liked this idea that I made, and I like this idea, so I want that back, kind of a thing. That's what I would do.
The only people outside of a big company that I could see taking their video library is maybe fucking high spots of all people, or someone that can release all that shit and make a profit off it.
Is RF Video still around?
Who?
RF Video. I think they were a wrestling video company.
Maybe.
I could see that. I could see like maybe a kayfabe commentaries or something. Some lower video company maybe picking the rights up. Honestly though, I can't see the rights going for too much. So I mean, if WWE can shake out maybe like $200,000 and plunk it down for the tape library, that is still 12 years of footage that they can put on the network to fill up space.
And other than that, they don't have a lot of stuff they could liquidate. I mean, like you said, they don't have their own trucks that actually have any value to them. Nobody's going to want that stupid six-sided ring. This isn't like when WCW went out when there was millions of dollars worth of trucks and ring equipment and lighting equipment and all that they could pick and choose from. There's nothing of value left from TNA.
I will offer TNA some lint from my pocket and a half-eaten Snickers.
All right, TNA, I will one-up you with that. I've got like three mini Snickers, the little fun size ones.
Oh, they could share them.
And I think I've got like twice as much lint. And I'll throw in a shiny new penny that I found on the floor earlier today.
Hold on, let me check my belly button. Oh, yeah, there's a big clump of lint here. Okay, I could definitely buy TNA.
Put that all together, you could easily at least afford Christy Hemme's contract.
I don't think she would like whatever I would have to do with her with that contract. So what are my jobs? Insert joke.
Insert.
what I'm saying?
I, you know, in all seriousness, I really do hope somebody picks up the tape library. Like I said, I mean, it's a part of history, good or bad, and I do think that somebody should try to make money off of it, and if not WWE... I don't know if Jarrett would want to pick it up just because of how much they burned him. Maybe High Spots might pick it up. Maybe Matthew from Botchamania might. Who knows?
The best thing that can happen is Jim Cornette picks it up just to fucking put commentary over everything and how fucking retarded it is.
Oh, that's who should buy it. It should be World Famous Flea Market. You ever see that channel?
No,
it's like
I
two guys do commentary over like really crappy indie shows, and they just like make fun of them the whole time. So that they should buy TNA's library, and they could do that.
I'm okay with that.
It's a consortium between Direct Auto Insurance and 5-Hour Energy. The only two sponsors that would ever sponsor a TNA event.
And so poorly too. Let's just have Matt Morgan come out and just be like, I don't know, it's car shit, like.
5-Hour Energy. It tasted of ass. It was totally suitable for TNA.
So, I mean, I don't know really what else there is to say about TNA. We've been making fun of them for the longest time, and we're going to continue to make fun of them, even after they're gone officially. They'll be gone for a while, and we'll just still be like, yeah, you know what else sucked today? I don't know. TNA. Fuck them. Doesn't matter. So, tell us what you guys think is going to end up happening with TNA. Try to defend them if you can, too. You know, if you're a big TNA fan, you think that we're being assholes and, you know,
we should
give them more credit than we are, then go ahead, chew us out, and, you know, see what happens. That is going to knock us out for all this TNA eulogy kind of stuff.
Thank God.
We are going to change this over and talk about some Fantasy League talk in the next part, and then that will be it. So, all that TNA stuff is over with, guys, and we're running down on the end of this episode of Smack Talk, so let's talk about Fantasy League that we have going on, which means I'm going to pass this over to Mike Payton to fill us in on whatever he needs to fill us in on.
All right, well, we are
most of the, well, not most, we're a good amount of the way through session four on the road to SummerSlam. And things haven't changed too dramatically, though things are starting to get very, very interesting. Tony Mango's Tony Tykes still in last place, but catching up 313 points. Steven Wago's Team Thoner, 374 points. Drew White's Drew Crew with 429 points. Remember, he just did that shakeup last week, getting himself Seth Rollins taken from Sean Walker's team in trade of Jack Swagger. Third place is currently Miguel Leon's Team Best for Business, 521 points. Hot on the tail of Sean Walker's Team Homeless in second place with 546 points. And I'm still sitting pretty, holding that lead with 738 points for my team Next Gen. So as usual, we like to follow things up with checking out for any substitutions or trades. And as a matter of fact, we had an off-the-table trade happen during the week that didn't quite happen on the show. We're not going to get the full details of it because Sean's not here. But they discussed, and by they, I mean Sean and Steven, to create the trade of Bray Wyatt for Randy Orton. And that is going to become official now before we head into our substitutions. So I'm going to mark that into my little thingamabobber here. And that brings us to the actual substitutions, in which Miguel Leon has number one priority at the moment. So Miguel, is there anybody you would like to trade?
Substitutions. Let me, can you send me the fantasy listing so I can see who's already taken?
The same place it always is.
So how's everyone?
So this week on editing, singing a song. So could the outro just be all the fucking edits we have to make?
Yes. You know what? I'm going to make a substitution then. I am going to substitute Lana, and in her place, I'm going to take Brie Bella.
Interesting.
Not a bad idea.
Brie Bella just gaining her job back this week. So that's a quick scoop up from Miguel Leon there. Brings us to Sean Walker, who is unfortunately not here and did not tell me of anything else he was interested in doing. So nothing going on for him. Brings it to myself, and I am currently happy with where my team is at. Despite the fact that the streak for Bo Dallas ended this week, I'm still going to hold on to him for now. I think he's still going to be doing some cool things over the next number of months. Which brings it to Tony Mango.
I'm not happy with my team 100%, but I can't pick anybody else that I want because they're on everybody else's team, so I'm staying the same unless something crazy happens with other trades.
All right, Mr. Juego, you're next.
How many weeks away are we from SummerSlam?
I think there's two weeks.
Okay, in that case, I'm going to keep Chris Jericho. I'm actually going to get rid of him right before the pay-per-view unless someone wants him. I'm willing to offer a trade, so I'm putting that out on the table if anyone's interested.
All right, we'll keep our ears tuned for that one. Mr. Drew White, you're next.
So, Peyton, would you be interested in Shaden for Brock Lesnar?
For Roman Reigns?
No, Sheamus.
Oh, Sheamus? I don't want Sheamus.
Oh, okay, how about Sheamus for Cesaro?
Ooh. I take that. Cesaro's fucked.
I'm not official. I'm not official yet. I don't know. How about Sheamus for the Boyo?
No.
Okay, then never mind. Fuck you.
What, you don't want Paige?
No.
Okay. How about Stardust?
How about this is my team and I'll decide what happens? All right, Miguel, we come back to you then. You already made one trade. Is there anyone else you're interested in popping out?
Nah, I'm happy with the Usos, Rusev, and Triple H.
All right, well then that concludes all the business we had to do for the Fantasy League this week. To get all the most up-to-date information and scores, be sure to stay tuned to KeepingKayfabe.com or the official Keeping Kayfabe Facebook or Twitter feeds.
So, Sheamus for John Cena, Wago?
That's actually kind of tempting, but no.
Alrighty, guys, that's going to transition us into plug time, so hit us with your plug, starting with Wago.
What? I'm not going first? Okay.
Shut the fuck up, Drew. Alright, for all your MMA needs, go to udmma.com, twitter.com/udmma, and facebook.com/udmma. Remember, Unanimous Decision MMA, you the MMA. And also check out Addicted to Anime. You can find us on Mega Powers Radio. It's a monthly podcast where we pick apart and review different shows. You can find us on facebook.com/addictedanimefans and Addicted to Anime on Twitter. And that's about it.
Miguel?
Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock on blogtalkradio.com is the Untitled Movie Show, where we talk about movie news. In fact, this coming Tuesday, we're going to be discussing all the news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con. If you want to listen to our previous episodes, we did a retrospective on Marvel Phase 1 this past Tuesday, so if you want to check out our archive section on there, you're more than welcome to. But tune in this coming Tuesday for our San Diego Comic-Con episode, 8 o'clock on blogtalkradio.com, the Untitled Movie Show.
Drew?
Hashtag Drew Crew, Tony Tykes suck, and fuck Team Homeless.
No, and... no FTNA?
TNA's got enough from us today.
No, they didn't. Didn't
So fuck TNA and fuck Dixie Carter.
Dixie Carter.
I won't want to fuck her. Her eyes are slanty and shit.
I would, but it would be more of a grudge. this is for 12 years in Vince Russo.
Peyton, save us. Hit us with your plugs.
If you enjoy listening to us talk about wrestling, join us every single Monday night following Monday Night Raw on megapowersradio.com for our Raw post show, the most interactive post-Raw experience available. The chat room will be scrolling with your comments, and we'll be accepting your calls live on the air. So join us once again. That's Monday nights after Raw, www.megapowersradio.com. And since we spent this night talking about Impact, I want to throw out this teaser out there that whenever that final episode of Impact is, we're going to do the first ever and only ever Impact post show, so you can definitely look forward to fun that happens with that. As a matter of fact, I kind of hope that's not the same week as Comic-Con, because we're not going to be around that Thursday night, or we're going to be again. Actually, that's some big news. Tony and myself and a couple other members of Fanboys Anonymous will be heading to New York Comic-Con, so if you're going to be going there as well, please hit us up. You know, maybe we'll meet up, take some photos, make fun of TNA, whatever we feel like doing. And to do that, follow me on Twitter, please. My official Twitter is at MRPADEN. That's Mr. Payton. And one last plug, please join our official Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs, facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs.
How awesome would it be if JD calls in on that Impact post show? Guys, I just got to tell you, you know, that Dixie Carter and her butt buddies, Spud and
however.
You know, I got to admit, you know, however.
Well, from my side of things, that wasn't already necessarily covered in the rest hold Peyton threw out there about the New York Comic Con. For those people that are not into the Fanboys Anonymous stuff or whatever, I'm sure that you don't necessarily care. But at the same time, even though it's something that's dedicated towards something outside of wrestling, like Peyton had said, if you come by, say hello to us. We're not going to be having a table. We're going to be doing our own kind of a thing out there. But... you know, you meet up with us and stuff, we'll probably film something for Smack Talk and everything like that as well. So it's not just for the geek kind of stuff out there. You know, anytime that we get together and we do different stuff, of course wrestling is going to be a part of it in some way. We also may be popping up around Cherry Hill, which is somewhat close to my area, for the Monster Mania convention coming up later on in August. So it's another thing that you might be interested in, because wrestlers do pop up there as well. So if you're from around the area or you can make it around the area,
Piper's going to be there.
Piper, yeah, Piper's going to be there. I know that Sid's been there a couple different years. Kevin Nash has popped up here and there. So that's more
Will,
of a...
Jericho be dabbling in another look?
He might not be. That's more of a horror convention thing, but they do have other things out there.
The reason Piper's actually going to be there is for a reunion of They Live, so it's not like he's there to promote WWE or anything.
Yeah, but
really?
I'm sure that, you know...
Is Carpenter going to be there?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know for sure. I actually haven't looked too much into that, but at least sometime Fanboys Anonymous is going to have some kind of representation there. And for one last thing that I need to mention, reiterate from the rest hold... this episode hopefully was good enough to hold you guys over for a little bit longer than normal. We've been recording these episodes on Wednesday nights and every once in a while back on the Friday schedule. But next week, remember, we are going to be recording that live edition of Smack Talk on Saturday, August 9th, 8 p.m., megapowersradio.com. mark your calendars, come out, talk to us, call in live, you know, make fun of other people that we want to make fun of, whether it's TNA or not. Direct the conversation whatever way that you guys want to. Ask us questions, pick our brains, goof off, do your own version of the time cal noise, whatever you guys want to do. We're going to have lots of fun, so make sure that you guys pop up for that. And for this episode, we are fortunately, unfortunately, depending on how you like this episode, finished. For everybody on this panel and everybody who couldn't pop up tonight, thank you guys for listening. This has been another Smark Out moment, and we're being counted out. Ladies and gentlemen, to honor the death of TNA, please join us in the outro for a 10-bell salute.